few years ago, when I would go to motorcycle races, one of the things that intrigued me more than once was as we would near the location where the race was to be held, which I thought everybody around would know was going on, we'd get to within a few miles, 3, 4, 5 miles, and stop to ask directions. And I was always amazed at how many people could not give me directions. They didn't know where it was. They didn't even know it was happening. They didn't know where a certain location was, when in fact they only lived just a couple miles away. Also, I remember one particular Sunday down towards Carlisle, as we went down to a race there, we got off the exit of the highway that we were on, and the particular type of motorcycle racing that I was doing was called observed trials. Well, it so happened as we got off the exit, there were signs somebody was having a dog trial. Well, many of you know what a dog trial is. It's like a dog show type thing, and with arrows pointing to go in one direction. And we just thought, well, trial, okay, well, that's the direction. And we started following the signs to the dog trial and ended up getting very, very lost because we weren't following the right directions. Our story today from Matthew is about some men that were looking for directions, some men that needed direction. A great event had happened. A king, a Messiah, had been born in Bethlehem. And the angels had come and announced it to the shepherds that this had happened. The shepherds went away telling others about this great thing that they had seen. It was just as the Lord had told them. But there was also a sign in the sky, the star, that led these men to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem. And what this was a sign to the whole world that something had happened. It was believed then by astrologers that many of the things that happened in the heavens happened because of some great event that took place on earth, and they were a sign to signal that that had happened. And in this particular case, these men took this as announcing to the world that a king had been born. And they were coming, following the sign, seeking directions to find this king. And this group of men came to Jerusalem following the sign to celebrate this great event, the birth of a king. Our text begins today by saying, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, the first question I ask when I read that is, how did they know about this king of the Jews? They were from lands hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away, and they had traveled a long distance to get there. How do they even know about this king of the Jews? They saw the sign, but they specifically said, "We've come to worship the king of the Jews." Well, if you remember, I was studying in the Old Testament, approximately 600 years or more earlier, God had allowed the Babylonians to come in and take his people captive to Babylonia. Okay? Now, in all those years that they were there, these Jews in Babylonian captivity, they spread this word, this prophecy, because they knew the prophecies that there was supposed to be a king coming or a Messiah coming at some point. So they spread this and taught their children down through the ages, even hundreds of years. So the Babylonians and the people in Babylonia knew that the Jews were expecting a king at some point. Also, if we remember, the angels had announced to the shepherds that a king or a Messiah had been born. They went and saw just as was told to them, and they went away rejoicing, telling everyone about all that they had seen. And we know news travels fast across the pastures, don't we? Through the shepherds. So, you see, the word had spread quickly, and these men that had came saw the sign in the sky and followed it to Jerusalem. Now, like some people, I would say, or I would ask, if you look at this story, Herod was only 5 miles away. He was in Jerusalem, approximately 5 miles from Bethlehem. Why didn't he know that this king had been born? Why didn't he know where he was? The truth is, he didn't care. Or if he did care, he would have been able to tell them because he would have known the scriptures and the prophecies. But he was disturbed, probably because these men were coming to worship the king of the Jews and not him. And he was disturbed about this. It tells us when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, Herod asked them where the Christ was to be born. So what he was doing here, he was seeking holy direction. Okay? He didn't know. He was seeking holy direction through the chief priests and the teachers about what the prophecy said. And they said to him, why in Bethlehem in Judea? Because that's what the prophet has written. And he refers to the prophet Micah, where Micah says, to you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Because out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now, rather than seek out this newborn king for himself, being approximately 5 miles away, Herod's jealousy and his laziness got the best of him. He called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. If Herod really wanted to see and worship the king, he only had to go a few miles to do it. Not only did he not care about seeing the Messiah, he didn't care even whether the word of God or the prophecies were true or not. So he sent the Magi on their way. Trusting in the word of God in Micah chapter 5, they went on their way searching. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. Now, not the gifts that you would normally present a baby, right? But having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Because of their persistence and their inner desire to see the king and their trust in God, because they were relying on holy directions from the Word of God based on the prophecies of where the Messiah would be born, God gave them direction. He gave them joy. He still provided the star. He provided the blessing of seeing the Messiah firsthand. And he also provided a warning, a danger, not to go back to Herod. God was in complete control of the situation. And because these men were searching and trusting God, they were blessed, and God used them to do a great thing. As Mary and Joseph and Jesus would go to Egypt, the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh were used to finance the trip along the way, to buy supplies, to purchase food probably along the way. So God was totally in control, using each person in this case for God's purpose. Now, I'm not going to get into all the speculation about how old Jesus was when they came, or how many magi there were, or some of the cliches, the only star in Bethlehem was in the manger, and wise men still seek him. Whether they were three kings, three wise men, or three astrologers, that's not why Matthew wrote this. Matthew's purpose of writing his gospel is to present Jesus as King of the Jews. And his point here that we all should be aware of is the contrast between those who search for and worship Jesus as King and those who don't search for him or worship him, or worse yet, those who won't. Even these honorable class of men came from afar to acknowledge him as king and worship him as king. The prophecies even foretold that kings would come from afar to worship him. And it was unfolding right before their eyes. And imagine the stories they would tell when they would go back. But we ask, why wouldn't Herod? What was wrong with Herod? Why wouldn't he not worship this newborn king? Well, first of all, he probably had a good excuse, like many do today. Maybe it was his only day off. Maybe he didn't believe in all that Jesus stuff. And certainly, worshiping another king would be humiliating to him. Worship a baby? I'm a man. I'm tough. This isn't a manly thing to do, to go and worship a baby. I'm a man and I'm self-made and I'm tough. Maybe he was worried that he'd have to give up of some of his pleasures. If he only knew the pleasures that this new king could give him. Herod was a phony. He knew what to do. He knew what to say. But he didn't respond personally. He went to the religious leaders and the teachers. But he didn't respond himself personally. The only effect that the birth of Jesus had on Herod was to make him angry and frustrated. And the reason was because he wouldn't follow holy directions. He wouldn't follow God's word. You ever get like that? You ever wonder why our world's so frustrated? So angry? It's because we're not following holy directions. No way was he going to worship the King of the Jews. I've met a lot of people like Herod and still continue, and I'm sure you people do too. They have good excuses. When the truth is, they really have no excuse at all. Many of them are phonies. They know the right moves. They know the right words. But they're like pagan robots. They're just going around saying the right things and doing the right things. They're like pagan robots instead of personal responders. Robots can't worship in spirit and truth because they don't have hearts of flesh. And it's from the heart that worship comes. Do you know what worship is? Worship is the appropriate response to God's self-revelation. Worship is the appropriate response to God's self-revelation. What's God's self-revelation? Jesus Christ. Worship is the appropriate response to Jesus. What is the appropriate response? As King, we follow after Him. We seek Him out. We obey Him as King. We praise Him as King. We live like kingdom people, being loyal to Jesus Christ. Following His commands. You say, how do I do that? You need holy direction. Seek the Scriptures. It's all here. Jesus says, follow me. He says, trust in God, trust also in me. He says, I am the true vine, remain in me. He gives the command in John 13, a new command. I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Because by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If you like it a little more simply put, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And even better yet, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We follow the King. We live like kingdom people. How can we expect the King to protect us and provide for us if we don't? Jesus said in Matthew and Luke, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. When you seek Him, you will find Him. And when you find Him, you won't be able to do anything else but worship the King of the Jews. Jesus said, I am the way. Don't be lost. Herod was lost. Follow God's directions to the throne of grace of Jesus Christ so that we might come face to face with Christ like these men did and bow down and personally respond by offering our lives to Him as our King. You see, we can know all the right words, we can know all the Scriptures, we can know all that stuff. But unless we personally commit our lives to the King, we're just like Herod, we're just pagan robots. You know, in the old days, when people were asked to submit to the King, they had to come before Him and they bowed their heads down and exposed their necks, and the King had the right as sovereign to chop off their heads. But they came and they asked for mercy, submitted to the King, bowed their heads, And if he was a king of peace and love, he would allow them to live. Sadly, many kings enslaved and oppressed their people for years and years. But our King, Jesus Christ, is a king of peace and a king of love who frees us for joyful obedience. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. He frees us from the bondage of slavery and sin and the weight that that puts on us. He frees us from having to worry about that, knowing that we can't get rid of it, that He already did at Calvary. And if we just accept that, it's gone and the weight's off and we can go on to do the good works that He has planned for us and live like kingdom people. When people look at you out in the world today, can they tell that you're kingdom people? Can they tell who your king is? You know, as we look forward to 2009 coming up, I guess the best advice that I could give, that I'm sure Jesus would give too, is to ask. Open it up. Ask. Seek it out. Knock. And it will be open to you. Because Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, I'll come in and sup with him or eat with him. I'll come in and be with him." But he's not gonna tear the door down. He's not gonna break in. That's up to us to open the door. And when the King comes knocking on our door, we'd be wise to open the door and let him in. And seek him out this year. Look for him. Look for that holy and divine direction. Because it leads all the way to the throne of grace. And it's there that we can come boldly because of our King who has gone before us to make a way. Let's pray. Dear God,